Hey everybody, this is Sean from ARVR Magazine. Today I'm talking to Tom Simmons, who's the CEO of Immerse, which is a virtual reality training company. They're here to talk about the new XR training program for enterprise called VR in a Box, which is a super smart, super well thought out package solution for corporate VR training. So with that said, I'll see you in the episode. Have you ever considered expanding your business into Europe? Europe is a hotspot for companies looking to expand globally. It provides some pretty unique opportunities for businesses, such as an educated workforce and a large affluent customer market of digital natives. Economically, now is a great time to make the transition. However, making the move can be challenging. The simple truth is that conducting business in Europe can be very different than in other global markets. Here's some things to consider. For example, customer service and localization. The European customer experience can be very specialized and very different depending on the country. European privacy laws. Data privacy laws in Europe are very strict and very different than in other parts of the world. In fact, they estimate that 90% of foreign businesses currently positioned in Europe are not compliant with up-to-date privacy laws. ChemWeb is an innovative corporate communications consultancy with its headquarters in Mainz, Germany. Right now, ChemWeb is offering a number of strategic workshop packages backed by legal counsel targeted to help your company get up to speed in order to make a successful and effective European transition. ChemWeb has an international team of European, German, and American consultants and content production specialists who can help you properly address the challenges required to successfully expand your business into Europe. So get started the right way. Schedule a workshop with ChemWeb. Just go to chemweb.de/eubusiness. That's ChemWeb with a K, KEMWEB.DE/eubusiness. And now on to the podcast. Welcome to the ARVR Magazine podcast, your source for news, trends, and analysis of the AR, VR, and immersive technology industry. This podcast has been brought to you by the Robot Spaceship Podcast Network. For more info and other great podcast series, go to robotspaceship.com and subscribe. Hey everybody, this is Sean from ARVR Magazine, and today I am talking to Tom Simmons, who's the CEO of Immerse. They're a virtual reality training company, and they're here today to talk about a new XR training program for enterprise called VR in a Box. So Tom, great to have you on the show.
Sean, thank you very much for inviting me. A pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so tell me about Immerse. What's the background?
Well, Immerse has been a business that's been around for about 10 years, focused on applying immersive tech to the world of learning. And that was kind of in two pieces, pre-VR and post-VR, if you like. So certainly for the last 7 years, it's been all about VR and how do we incorporate that amazing technology to run on a platform that can kind of distribute and measure content. So that's sort of in a nutshell, that's what it is. We're kind of a company that's currently based out of the UK, but with a growing US presence.
I guess we'll get into some of the more details lately, but just somebody who's involved with sort of virtual reality, mixed reality training from a platform level, I mean, tell me a little bit about sort of the VR in the workplace, you know, how HR teams and training professionals leveraging this technology. I mean, how are people using this tech right now, especially for the workplace?
Well, I think when you look back to the beginning of VR in the workplace, you kind of had a big focus on health and safety as a kind of key area, because right. It was pretty obvious that if you could replicate a fire, let's say, in a refinery, in a headset, it was a great way of preparing, training people at a significantly reduced cost compared to how it had been previously conducted, and obviously way more effective than saying, watch this video. And so the starting point, I think, was health and safety. And then alongside that, it was operational training. So how do I operate this piece of machinery? So we did a very early piece of work was with a big pharma business And it was how to disassemble a pill press. So those kind of very sort of practical scenario-based training was kind of where we started, and we still do a lot of work in that domain today, really because it allows you, obviously, to, you know, we're all familiar with the power of VR, but particularly in relation to our platform, it allows significant amounts of data to be captured on a trainee, an individual who's working through a scene. And so you can go from what I think traditionally would have been a very kind of binary view of training and assessment, pass, fail, 5 out of 10 type of thing, into something that's incredibly granular. And I think companies that we work with that are, you know, been deploying our platform for a while are beginning to derive huge insight into the process itself, as well as an individual's ability to competently complete a task. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I'm thinking back to like one of the first VR conferences I went to, and maybe it was you guys, I don't remember, but somebody had a, it was like a training program that had, it was like a fire on an oil rig, and it was just, you had to go through and make a bunch of decisions, and then there was smoke and this kind of stuff. And I think that was the first time I really kind of like got it from a training perspective. Before, it was just kind of gaming and immersive experience. From a training perspective, I was like, okay, that really fits, because you can't really simulate that with the video. You can't simulate that real life. I mean, that's really where that kind of use case fit for me. Something clicked. But yeah. I mean, that's kind of where you guys are at. That's those kind of experiences, right?
Well, that was kind of where we were at. And then the other thing that we were able to do via the platform, and this was like right at the beginning of VR, was deliver these kind of multi-person experiences. And so people began to figure out that actually the trainer didn't need to be in the same location as the trainee. So, right. You know, you didn't have to fly someone around the world to actually be in the training center, or, you know, it's only in the oil and gas industry, take someone out offshore, which is obviously very expensive. And so that idea of having, you know, multiple people in an environment simultaneously, some in a headset, some on a PC, some on a mobile, was something that was kind of unique to immerse. Now, you know, being honest with you, we were just far too early. People were really struggling to get their head around what VR was, and did it fit in the world of enterprise? Wasn't it just some gaming technology? And then you could, you know, pretty quickly convince them that there was very strong application in enterprise. And then, you know, then we began to, you know, communicate to them that this could allow amazing training to be distributed at scale in multiple locations.
Yeah, I'm just coming from a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, carry on. Sorry.
I've worked in the agency side of VR. I've worked in the client side of VR for a while. And I think the challenge is always getting people to, one, I mean, who aren't aware of the tech in the first place, like what it is. And then two, sort of getting them to understand the benefits. And it's always hard to get people to kind of grasp the whole package. And I guess that kind of leads into your next product, which kind of solves that in a way. Maybe you want to tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. And so I think sort of developing on from those kind of early years, what did we encounter in most companies we went into? Most were completely new to VR. They didn't really know where to start. They found it quite daunting in that they had to figure out, were they going to use an Oculus device? Were they going to use an HTC? Were they going to use, in recent years, a Pico? So that was a first consideration. Secondly, you know, probably the most important is, well, what content are we going to run here? And obviously the first comparison was, well, this is what we do in e-learning. And, you know, there's 100,000s of places where you can buy e-learning content, but very, very few where you can buy off-the-shelf VR-based content. So you have that kind of what device, what content. And then, you know, the third piece is, well, okay, I've got the content, I've got the headset, but how am I going to run it? How might I integrate whatever data I'm capturing and integrate it back with my learning management system so that this is not just some, you know, experimental piece of innovation. This is going to become core to the training, you know, program. And I think it was with those things in mind, we thought, look, there are some companies for sure that are pretty sophisticated and have been in this VR space for 5 or 6 years, but the majority need help. They need handholding. So, you know, it was a brilliant idea, I think, to come up with this concept of VR in a box. And VR in a box is really trying to solve those three issues literally in a box. So for about $25,000, you can buy a box with five Pico Neo headsets in. You will get a year's access to the Immerse platform. You'll be able to select content from our content marketplace, and you'll have the mobile device management software already preloaded on your device. So compared to where you might have been before this launch, you know, we're solving all the kind of key problems to get someone, a company, started. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It was, I remember when I saw this first, I was VR in a box, and coming from marketing, I like to see things packaged, you know, I like things, a product, something cohesive. And like, you know, like I mentioned before, it's always very, it's sometimes it's intangible when you go into to convince people to do some application or something for their company. Or especially if you want something custom made, then it's always, you have to convince them of three or four different layers. And in which case you guys, it's really smart the way you did it. It's just, it's there. Here it is. You have the devices, you have the platform, you have the, you know, the experiences, you can pick from them. And it's understandable, I think, out of the gate. And I think that's a really smart way to approach it.
I think the look, we've often thought, what is it that is stopping people from engaging with this amazing technology and sort of getting frustrated at perhaps the lack of traction? And so, you know, the onus is on us as one of the category leaders to make it as simple as it possibly can be so that an enterprise doesn't have those headaches and that their first experience is, relatively speaking, friction-free. That's what we are really striving for with the launch of this proposition. And feedback so far has been fantastic. You know, I think people, they want to get started, but they're a bit anxious. They're a bit scared. They're not, it's not a technology that anyone is particularly familiar with. And at that price point, we feel that it's, you know, it's certainly as affordable as it's ever been. Yeah, I mean, you make a good comment about the custom content, and we've done a lot of that, and we continue to do that for our big blue chip clients. But, you know, it's expensive, you know, and the cost of content will continue to be expensive because you need, you know, well-paid, well-qualified people to create that content. So the idea of giving people a choice is absolutely fundamental to what we're about as a company.
Yeah, it was always a sell to, I mean, it seemed like the hardware was always the tack on at the end thing that nobody ever, you know, is just, you try to sell some experience that's targeted to whatever use case they had. And then, well, we'll you know, and then they asked about, well, how do we do that? Or how do we deliver it in a, you know, in a training room or at an event or something. And it's like, well, then we'll provide you, or you buy this or whatever, you know. And in your case, you have, it's just turnkey, you know, you just have the devices are there, they're ready to go. Just, you know, bang it out. And it's really, I think what's needed in the industry is that kind of delivery, definitely.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we also feel we need to do is nurture a content ecosystem. So you may not be aware, but there are about 400 brilliant companies that are creating training apps in different guises for VR. And you know, the genre, the key sort of genres which you'll find in the marketplace were perhaps, as I was saying, quite heavily skewed to health and safety, hazard awareness, more technical training. But in the past few years, there's some brilliant, you know, new companies emerging that are looking at the broader kind of more HR people skills based apps, which could cover diversity and inclusion. They could cover gender bias. They could cover communication skills, presentation skills. And that's what's so exciting, that there is the beginnings of a choice. Okay, it's a long way off what you can buy in 2D for sure, but things are beginning to move. And I think this is, you know, part of the excitement of the space now. And there's no doubt that, you know, six, seven years ago, it was slow. It was hard to find companies that were willing to make those first steps. But I think things are beginning to speed up. And so the marketplace, which is obviously a, you know, core element of the VR in a box, giving people that choice, you know, you'd be kind of crazy as a company to just wed yourself to one agency for all your content, because you can't possibly be an expert across all the genres. Right. So that's the idea of the marketplace. It's really, well, let's try and find the ones that we think are the best, that give great choice, and then we, you know, we evolve it.
There's a lot of content in there. I mean, there's, like you said, there's first aid, there's like diversity training, there's like industrial machinery. There's quite a bit of stuff that's in there, and I can definitely imagine, from, you know, a corporation wanting to make a 25K investment in training. I mean, again, it's turnkey. That's why I still keep going back to how, you know, how smart it is right there.
You know, we would all acknowledge that the best tech is the simplest tech, the most intuitive, and that's what we are sort of pushing for, whilst trying to maintain, you know, a quality bar. You know, we don't want to have a marketplace with 1,000 titles with only 100 good ones. We've tried to start, you know, slowly, and then we're just going to build out from there. But yeah, it's a big step. We feel it's a pretty big step for the emerging, you know, enterprise XR space.
I'm just looking through the VR in a Box sort of product page. Now it comes with 5 apps, and it comes with the platform distribution tracking, which is pretty robust from what I can see as well. I mean, just that in itself does quite a bit. It's it's sort of course tracking, but what else is behind that exactly?
Well, I think one of the great things about the platform is that you can capture vast amounts of data. So you can do, as I was saying, something that's pretty binary as just a plain, yeah, completion statement where, yes, that person has completed that specific course. But because of the way the platform is built, we can go into this kind of very granular approach where you can capture up to 30 data points a second. So you can really analyze in very deep detail. So for some of those more technical titles, you can really get under the skin of the performance of an individual. For the titles that are, you know, more kind of people focused, so, well, gender bias, for example, then the interactions are kind of more straightforward, I would say. But, you know, the years that we've spent developing the platform has really been on the back of working with, you know, different types of companies and really working with them to solve problems. And we feel like the platform, you know, can pretty much do anything that you could imagine needing to be done. And so I think it is this kind of combination of that the content and the headset. You know, we've had great, really good discussions with Pico. You know, they are a very good, strong partner of ours. They're, you know, their headsets are fantastic. We love them. And so working together with them and the content creators, it feels like we're, you know, we're delivering a really good proposition.
Yeah, just checking in on it some more. So the use case, I'm just thinking if I'm a company, I get the box, everybody kind of just puts on a device, logs in. Now, is there sort of a, the instructor per se, are they, can they also engage in another headset, or are they sort of coming in through the platform as guidance, or how does that
work? Yeah, I think it, you know, for the content that features in the marketplace, a lot of it is multi-person, but some of it is single person experience. So a lot of the softer skills is you going in and interacting with different scenes, but then some of the other content it is more multiplayer. So the idea with this proposition, Sean, is to kind of do something simple and straightforward to allow people to get going. And then if they want to get into a more custom type discussion, or they want to do something, you know, that is kind of more sophisticated, they can. But the point is, until they've seen the art of the possible and they've seen, okay, yeah, maybe we can use VR for some of this new diversity and inclusion work that we're doing, or maybe, yes, you know, that working from heights, you know, that what normally happens is that people are stimulated by what they see and it fires off other ideas. And so what we're trying to do there is say, well, look, why don't you speak to the company that created that diversity and inclusion module, and you can just work with them, create something bespoke, something custom. That's all about nurturing an ecosystem, really.
So just to kind of recap the, in the marketplace, I mean, you can have sort of third-party developers create experiences in there if they need something custom, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I think today there's about 24 different third-party content creators who've contributed content to the platform, to the marketplace today.
That's crazy. I don't know. It's when things come together, it's so cohesively. I love that. Maybe it's just like I like things in boxes. I don't know. It's just you hold it in your hand. It's you know. And there's been so many just sort of BSE presentations I've had to go through, you know, where it's so hard to explain. It's just it almost like sells itself to me. I mean, what are you guys doing with this next? I mean, what's on the horizon for you guys?
Well, I think, you know, this proposition didn't happen overnight. You know, I think it's really come through our very deep understanding of the space, because we've possibly been doing it longer than anyone else. You know, the driver for us is choice, and trying to give, you know, companies of all sizes, not just the big multinational blue chips, an ability to get going at low cost, and seeing this kind of broadening out, you know, that one day, you know, you'll go on to a, you know, large e-learning content site, you'll be picking whether you want to consume content in a headset or on a PC or on a mobile. And we're trying to sort of drive that change. I mean, we're doing, as you probably know, we're a key partner of SAP, for example. You know, we're working with them to kind of hone a proposition for the enterprise space. So there's going to be ongoing development of the platform, needless to say. You know, that's really what is unique to Immerse, and that constant optimization, making sure that, you know, it's truly out of the box and that it integrates seamlessly with any learning management system, any learning record store. It does go back to that same point, Sean, of just trying to take the headaches out of this domain and not give people an excuse to say, yeah, I tried it and it's just too complicated. Right. We don't want people saying that. And that's what is part of our mission, really. That's what we're trying to solve.
Have you, I mean, obviously I'm aware of the benefits of immersive tech and training. You are too. Was there anything that sort of, after you've got this out and circulated, was there anything that sort of surprised you that maybe you didn't anticipate?
In terms of VR in a box, you mean?
Yeah, or just the training experience in general.
I think one of the things that always surprises me is that the age question. And I find that you would perhaps assume that someone who's over a certain age, maybe, you know, over 50, let's say, is going to struggle perhaps with adopting this kind of technology. And that just never happens. I find that really, I found it slightly surprising, I have to say. I think that's, you know, testament to the quality of the content that we've built for our clients and the brilliant content creators are building for the marketplace. I think, you know, in those very early years where perhaps, you know, there was some kind of frame rate issues with the early headsets and there was a bit of reluctance, perhaps that's that kind of negative view on the headset we just don't encounter anymore, I would say.
Yeah, I think you got a good device too. I think it's pretty fast.
Yeah, I think that device is very strong, as is the Quest. Those are the two devices that we kind of work with the most.
So if a company is looking to sort of get started with VR training, I mean, do you have any advice for them? I mean, obviously buy your stuff, but I mean, how do people kind of step into that from the decision-making process?
Well, I would say that my first advice is always don't boil the ocean. That is absolutely the starting point. Find something, you know, a piece of content, a small problem that you're looking to solve, and start with that. I think that is, I mean, maybe sounds a bit obvious, but we've seen quite a few times people have this, you know, they have a bold vision, which is great, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you need to be able to show progress quickly with a new technology. And that is about, you know, creating a content experience in an agile way, constantly iterating. And so where you end up with a piece of content, either a piece of custom content, or maybe it is also from the marketplace, but you want to be able to capture people's attention quickly. You don't want to get sucked into, you know, a 6-month dev cycle. You want to be able to show something that has an impact, that directly reflects either a problem, maybe a cultural problem that you're looking to overcome, or a specific training need, and to do it fast. And to do it fast, you know, the onus is on whoever your partner is, or if your partner's immersed, then you can do that at a much lower cost than perhaps was possible 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, it's definitely interesting to see all this come together. I think that's about all for the time today. But if somebody wants to check out your platform, where do they go?
They need to go to immerse.io and contact us there, or you can contact me on LinkedIn. I'm Tom Simmons. I'd be very happy to chat and guide you on your journey to get VR into your business.
Great. Well, it's been great having you on, Tom. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Sean. I love talking to you. Thank you.
Okay. If you like this podcast, don't forget to click the subscribe button to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. This podcast has been brought to you by the Robot Spaceship Podcast Network. For more info and other great podcast series, go to robotspaceship.com and subscribe.